CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody.
Live on a Tuesday. It is already the 2nd of November. Yes, there was Election Day. You got it. Where's yours? Come, please. No, where's yours? No, why?
Gone.
Yours is gone already. Bullshit.
Yeah,
you lie. You didn't go and vote. You lie. When not? What's your story? I mean, how can you not have a mark anymore? How did you get rid of it?
No. I absolutely despise the person on social media, by the way, like influencers who,
yeah,
I made a change. Like, why do they have to make it so big as well? Like, so I bought some stuff at home, like kind of meth kind of thing.
Yes.
Scrub it off. Don't need it on my hand. What do I need to do? Show everyone I voted. Get the hell out of my face, man.
Serpent time.
No, not to.
Are you sure?
Burn my nail off.
No. What do you meant to use?
Oh, I don't know. I'll take a photo of the stuff that I got. But I bought it, and it works.
Because they made a hell of it. I mean, they tried to make a complete dog's breakfast of mine. I mean, it just looks like I was attacked by animals or something.
They probably recognized you, and they were like, wait a minute.
Son of a bitch.
Some of a bitch. I don't know how I know this guy, but I know something. Ah!
Yeah, something. Anyway, yeah, so I went.
I wish I had one.
You didn't go?
I went at around 8:45 because I had like
the
whole day. No, but they were still open, dude. They were still open, okay. In my defense.
Yeah.
I just went to the wrong place. So I went to where I didn't register. So I'm like, but surely I can still vote. I mean, I'm on the system. I'm registered. I've been registered for a while now. And they're like, no, you have to go to the place where you registered. I was like, no. Are you kidding me? That was, my heart was broken. I really wanted to vote. And then, yeah.
Well, my
South Africa.
So I went with my sister and her boyfriend, and we stood in the queue for 2.5 hours.
What time did you go?
No, we went at 5:30 in the afternoon, left there at like almost 8 o'clock. I don't know why it took so long at our polling place, because I just saw like so many other people who had like 5-minute waits, and I was so, you know, and it was fine. I mean, we stood in the queue and talked shit. It was kind of hilarious. I mean, one of the things that we spoke about, so this is just complete nonsense, but we saw this kid in a pram, and the mom said to the IEC guy, because we were standing like, you know, quite a long way down the queue, and the mom says to the IEC guy, if we have children, can we go to the front? So he says, I'll go and check. He goes to the front, finds out, comes back like 5 minutes later. He goes, bad news, I'm afraid you'll have to just wait in the queue with your kid. And the kid's in the pram.
Oh.
So it's not the end of the world. But she says to the kid, we're just going to have to wait now. So the kid starts screaming and crying. So I said to my sister and her boyfriend, I go, you know what? This is an origin story for a fascist villain. Like, democracy has pissed this kid off, and now he's going to grow up to be a fascist. Watch. You'd seem like, wow, democracy. I will never forgive you, democracy. And so we laughed about that, and then we tried to figure out, because you know when you're bored, you do dumb stuff. So we tried to figure out how many mosquitoes is 1 horsepower? So if
this is boredom.
No, this is good.
Mad boredom.
This is good shit. So supposedly 1 horsepower is, I don't know, the amount of Newton meters that you can get out of. I think it's 550 kilograms over 1 meter in a second. That's 1 horsepower, something like that. It's not important.
Okay.
But we tried to work out how many mosquitoes would you need to pull the same amount of force. So we took it like one kind of animal at a time. So we started off with a horse. How many dogs, how many Labradors do you think would be able to like pull the same as 1 horse? So we figured, well, that must be about maybe 10, maybe even 15 Labradors. Okay. So then we go, well, let's take 15 Labradors. Then how many cats would need to pull what 1 Labrador does? And you keep multiplying by that number. Anyway, we worked out, after going from Labrador to cat to rat to mouse to sparrow to all these different, like a fly, and then from a fly you kind of calculate how many mosquitoes can pull a fly. And eventually we worked out with 450 million mosquito power is equal to 1 horsepower. This is the kind of shit I was doing to entertain myself in the queue yesterday. Fun, huh?
Yeah, I'd rather have a crying baby. give me that little screaming fuck on the pram.
Anyway, it's quite fun. Bulelo, your MKT show was amazing yesterday. Those two Caucasian guys were like dumb and dumber.
They are. You're right. James and Ryan. Yeah. Sensational. From the West Rand. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah.
Well, Rickus is complaining. He says the IEC is so incompetent. Last week, they confirmed a new location with me where I registered. Yesterday, when I came here, my old location still showed on the system. I eventually managed to vote. Yeah, you know what? So my brother and his wife went late. They only arrived at the poll at like 7:30 or whatever. Like Lebang left it to the very last, right? The problem is there was a lot of... There were long queues at ours. So then they were all upset that they had to wait a long time. We also waited a long time, but we went at 5:30, so we didn't have to get home at 10. So what happens? Because they've got two little boys and I live nearby, they say to me, oh, won't you go and just sit there? I mean, the kids are asleep, but just go and sit in the house in case the kids wake up and there's someone there for them. So then after waiting for 2 hours, 2.5 hours myself to go and vote, I had to go and wait another 2.5 hours at their house while the kids slept so that they could get home. So basically I put in, I just want you to know, democracy, I worked hard for you yesterday. I put in at least 4 hours, maybe even five, if you add it all together. So democracy, leave me alone. I've had enough of you for another 4 or 5 years. Leave me alone.
Plus the depreciation on your tires to drive to a house that isn't yours. Ugh. Yeah, yeah. So petrol.
Come on.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. Wow. What a hero.
I know.
Right?
I know.
What a hero. Wowzers.
Anyway, nothing like physics to pass the time by. Yeah, that's exactly right, Cindy. Kutso says good morning. Good morning, Kutso. Michael says good morning.
Good morning.
Brandon says... Brandon Stinky Poop Brief says, anyone know where I can view election results? Shame, poor Venetia, she stood for 2 hours in the rain. Oh, that's terrible. Well,
no, wait. Venetia, buy an umbrella.
I mean,
you're not in the rain anymore.
Let me just check this
like,
out.
What if,
I'm going to help I'm gonna help these people who are looking for election results.
For the results. I mean, she didn't plan to get there and find rain. I mean, unless you're always riding with an umbrella in your car, of which in this case, clearly she wasn't. So,
yeah.
And what if she was already in the line and then it started raining? So must she say, hi, please, can you keep my place? I've been here for 2 hours. I'm just going to quickly run and get an umbrella. So by the time she comes back, it's late.
Yeah. I think you used to be able to get the election results on elections.org.za. Ah, you can. If you go to elections.org.za, that's where I always go. You get up to the minute, like responses, and you'll see what's going on there. So far, across the whole country, the leading party is the ANC with 44.67%. But that's really, for them, that's not good. I don't know what the total percentage of votes counted at this point are. I'll have to just check out the site and find out for you later on. But Eastern Cape, Western Cape, they break it down quite nicely on this map. So you can usually find what you're looking for on the IEC's actual website. It's quite good.
I wish I could find so much information that I knew who everyone in my road voted for.
Yeah,
so then I knew who to blame if things go wrong.
Exactly.
I'd love that. I want that kind of data.
Yeah.
Like, yes, Craig, you're the prick. Why we can't get a second speed bump here.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so let's pay attention to the important places. I'm not going to look at the Eastern Cape or Northwest or Mpumalanga or Limpopo. Who cares? Or Free State, for that matter. So
yikes.
No, who cares? Come on. Who are we trying to kid? So Johannesburg, the ANC is 34.45%, the DA 22.66%. But most of the wards aren't counted yet, right? So this is a very early, very, very early comparison. It's not really going to help you. I'll try to give you better information as it starts getting clearer. But as I recall from last time, it takes a little while before anybody really figures out what's going on. Anyway, so poor Lebang, you didn't get to vote.
Dude, and if I must tell you something, I am like really one of those I fight for voting. Everybody in my house votes. Mm. Everybody in my friendship circle votes. I'm the one person that's like, guys, we have to do this. And so when I couldn't vote, it wasn't a nice feeling, man. You know, I'm not one of those, oh, yeah, well, I was just like, fuck.
You felt like one of those losers who it didn't partake and now you can't complain for the next 4 years, 5 years.
No, look, I will complain, but like, I wanted to vote, you know, and also I think I've got a little bit of like I don't want to call it trauma, but like for me to actually end up registering when I did, like my dad fetched me from varsity in Tux and he drove me all the way back home just to register. So that was like a moment for me, you know, that was like our thing. And then ironically, I see him again like 2 days ago, just before voting again. And this is not someone I see often. So I was like, oh, and the first thing he says to me is like, if there's one person who I know is going to vote, it's you, my girl. Who are you voting for?
No.
I'm like,
you are such a disappointment.
Right?
You are the biggest disappointment. Oh, what a loser!
I haven't even told him. I haven't told him that I didn't vote. If I tell him, he's just going to be so crushed. So yeah.
Shame. I'm sorry. That's terrible, Lebang. You're a huge letdown. That's what you are.
Right?
Yeah. Certified.
So they've only completed 12% of the tally so far. So it's really there's no indication whatsoever. But if you do look at the 12%, here are the parties in order of popularity. Okay, ANC is at 44.6%, the DA 27.6, EFF at 7.8, Freedom Front Plus 4.43. Then there's the NCM. Have you ever heard of them? The Namakwa Civic Movement. That's the fifth biggest fucking party in the country.
Namakwa.
You've never heard of them, right? That's the fifth biggest party.
I know Namakwa.
Then there's the PA, which is the Patriotic Alliance. That's old, what's his name? The Kenny Quinene's old business partner, man. It's Gayton McKenzie. That's
McKenzie.
Him. Yeah, then there's ICOSA, which is the Independent Civic Organization of South Africa. They got 4.5% so far of the vote. COPE comes after that. And then all the way down, IFP. Yes, Inkatha Freedom Party is the... They're not even... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They're the 11th. They don't even come in the top 10 so far in terms of the tally. Incredible. That's very embarrassing. So anyway, we'll keep an eye.
You know what's weird? I wasn't able to sleep yesterday, so at like 1 a.m. I was just like, you know, looking at the timeline. And there was some vibe that Action SA is actually doing really well. In a couple of these places. Like, that was the energy. So everyone's like, oh, yeah, Action SA, woo, woo, woo. And then this morning I checked, I'm like, but I don't see them at all.
Yeah, I don't know that they're not competing everywhere. Hey? They're only competing in, I think, Durban, Johannesburg. Mm. I think Pretoria or one of those, I'm not sure, but they're really not competing across the whole country. So there's no way to tell for sure. And as I said earlier, it is too early at this point. So let's not get too excited about the results that come in for the next 2-3 hours. It's only going to become clear somewhere around lunchtime today. Anyway, so
there was some irony in my voting.
Yes, tell us, because we haven't heard your story.
Oh, I mean, it's not a great story, but it was like, okay, this is a South African election.
Come on, with that shirt.
Yeah, I go to this place. It's maybe the most French school in the world. I had to Google it. I forgot. Lycée Français Jules Verne, or however you say it.
The Lycée Français, which means the French school. Jules Verne, he's the famous author.
Like what? I can't vote it. What are Red Hill up to? Just open up there. I got to vote.
No.
Well, I can't vote at a South African school. I get there. It's the most French place in the world. I go, hey, I don't like Macron. I don't want to vote. Hey, what's going on here? We're voting at the most French place ever, by the way. Like ever. Just everything's blue, white, and red.
So who did you vote for? Jean-Marie Le Pen or Emmanuel Macron?
No, I said, bring back, who's the Russian, Sarkozy. I said,
Sarkozy,
bring him back.
Yeah,
he's got a hotter wife.
That Carla really Bruni. Hot wife. Yeah, I'll never forget her.
Yeah.
I follow her on Instagram,
Oh, is she on the ground? I'm going to follow her immediately.
She's a singer.
Firecracker.
She's a singer. She's really cool. I like her. And very, very rarely, but occasionally, she does a song or she, you know, post some cute little meme or whatever it is. She's actually fun to watch.
Huh.
I like her.
Follow.
Carla Bruni. All right. Kampamba says, the petrol price, please send help. Yeah. Oh, my God. And apparently it's only going to get worse, hey? Yeah. How do you feel about these people who keep posting pictures of their thumbs? And then some of their thumbs are manky as shit. Like, I don't mind.
I feel like that.
No, listen. I don't mind that you're excited about voting. You know, Mbulelo, who the hell are you or me to get unexcited about someone else's excitement in voting? Maybe it's their first time. Maybe it means more to them than it does to you or to me or Lebang. So that's fine. And, you know, frankly, if you're following people, you should take an interest in their life. Otherwise, don't follow them. So it's partly your fault. You know how you always say it's your fault?
Yes.
So that's the truth. But I don't know why people would want to put their thumb on the internet if it looks like it looks like a chicken claw. I saw people who actually posted a chicken claw with like a piece of ink, like a blob of ink on it, which was hilarious. But some of these people's thumbs, yes, don't you clean under your nails? Don't you cut your nails first of all? Some people look like they've been, I don't know, digging in the soil before they went to vote or something. You know, pulling old gourds full of like magic potion out of the soil before they went to vote. There's something going on with people. What the hell's that all about? Serious.
Cut your nails. It's gross.
It is gross, right?
Yeah.
Just tidy yourself.
I thought it was hilarious.
Bulelo, it takes 2 minutes to post a TikTok rant. Please make one today, says Robin.
Wow. Maybe I'll do a rant. So people have been asking me to do a few rants.
Yeah, you're good at these rants. I think they would be
You'd
fun.
Be really good, yeah.
Maybe I'll
yeah.
So Rebellious Ruth says, we moved. I thought I'd register in my new district. Thank God I SMS'd and checked and went back to my old hood. It's a bit of a shambles. Yeah, there were a lot of people who actually said, I saw a lot of comments on social media too from people who were in the wrong place, like Lebang was. And then you can't vote, and that's frustrating. Imagine standing in the queue the whole way, and then you get to the front. You're lucky you didn't have much of a queue, because then you would have been really cross. Imagine if you'd spent, like me, 2 hours, and then you got to the front, and they said, sorry, you're not registered. But we did say to people, like 2 months ago already, like you can SMS this number to find out if you're registered. And people wake up on the last day and go at the last minute. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy there. I'm sorry. I know, Lebang, you were upset about it, but it's your fault.
It's really so is. South African. It's so South African to do that.
Yeah.
I take full responsibility. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, the bigger issue is, I've registered to vote. Why can't I just fucking vote anyway? Why do I need to be in that specific
Do you know why?
Place?
No, because this is this is a municipal local election. So you're actually voting for like the pipes and the power lines and the roads in your particular municipality. You can't go to Mbulelo's neighborhood and screw with the voting there.
Exactly.
Okay, but what if it's a special case where I've just like moved here like 2 minutes ago and like, you know,
No one's special. I like that. I hate special case. there's no special case in life. Registration.
Yes, I'm so mad. I'm actually pissed. And what's worse is I really was like in the right neighborhood the whole day. I was at my mom's place the entire day.
Well, that's one less vote for the Vryheidsfront Plus. They're going to be very upset with you.
And that's exactly who I wanted to vote for. That's
So I went on my Instagram and I posted this picture of my thumb just to annoy Mbulelo. In fact, I think I even tagged him because I knew it would irritate him. And then I said, the EFF better be grateful. I stood in a queue for 2 hours, right? So now, I mean, I might be joking. I might not be. I'm not going to talk about who I voted for. But the funniest thing is like some people get really upset. Like a lot of people were messaging me going, oh, did you really vote for the EFF? How could you do that? You're like, you're. First of all, if I did, it's none of your business, right? I mean, it would be my decision. And you may think it's a stupid decision, but maybe I like the EFF. Maybe I'm personal friends with some of those guys who took that VBS money. Maybe it's none of your business. Or maybe I'm kidding, in which case you don't have a sense of humor, and that's on you. But, you know, don't react like that. Like, react either with a laughing face or don't react at all. Anyway, I did the registration.
Imagine those people put that much energy into themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know how people put energy? Yeah. Like if more people just said, I'll take my life as seriously as I take
Gareth's life.
Inga says, I did the re-registration on time and was still registered in my old neighborhood. Oy, oy, oy. Now you see.
Hi, Inga. How you doing, girl? You see? So sometimes it's not us. The systems are just crooked.
Michael says, the ANC's success. Well, let's not count it as success yet. We haven't seen the results, Michael, but simply indicates to what extent our citizens are brain damaged. it's happily bruised thumbs up for more corruption and incompetence into 2022. You don't know that yet, though. Let's see. I've always said, like, you get the government you deserve, whether you voted for them or not, because you live among the people who did vote for them, right? So we've got to accept in this country that a lot of people are going to vote in ways that we don't all approve of. And that is partly because South Africa is this very complicated place. So let's see what happens when the results come in, but let's not prejudge people.
My last three Uber drivers have said, all three, same story.
Mm.
I didn't vote. I'm not voting. Mm. Why? Mm. Ah, these old men are eating the money. All three. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same answer. I didn't prompt it. And I didn't bring it up either. I'm also not the guy, as you know, I don't want to chat to my Uber driver. It was just like yesterday they saw we were working. And they're like, oh, you're not voting. I said, no, I'm at work, chief. This country's lazy. I don't know why I need a public holiday to vote. It's a 5-minute thing, get back to work. Anyway.
Right.
So then all three of them are like, no, I'm not voting. Why? No, these people are eating the money. Okay. So if you don't. So guys are hurtful. Eh? Although that's rather anecdotal to say three people is
no,
is
but
everyone.
I mean, okay, so you researched three people. I mean, if you talk to and you may speak to really important people, I don't know, but I sometimes like to speak to the people who aren't important, that don't have the important jobs, like the security guard, the person who like puts the trolley away in the shopping mall, those kind of people, because sometimes you get a better feel for what's really going on by talking to them than you do by talking to CEOs or political analysts, you know? I mean, I've got to – when Pumi and Canton come back on Thursday for the Burning Platform, I won't be here. I will. So I'm going to accost the two of them. Because I'm upset with them. They said to me, go anytime. There are no queues. What did those two know? I should have asked my neighborhood because my neighborhood would have known better, right? Anyway.
Yeah, you should have.
Robin says it took me 10 minutes to cast my vote. 3 ballots in Krugersdorp. Something like council, ward, and region. I only had 2. Stupidity, only 1 box to put all 3 in. Okay.
3?
So, but that's Krugersdorp. I'm surprised they even have paper there.
Yeah. Oh, no. Jesus. 1 for the devil.
Yes.
Separate voting.
Yes, you get your ward. That's right. Okay. So the one is for the devil. That's correct, because Devilsdorp. In Somerset West, says Tracy, some voting station systems were down for hours. Some folks stood in queues for up to 5 hours. And that was
some places had load shedding.
And that was in the rain. No, it was in the rain. How dare you, says Linda Ntuli in Greta's voice. How dare you? Yes, how dare you. Robin says, awesome. I was in one line and my mother came past and shouted at me that I was in the wrong line. I swapped lines and that was the wrong one. Thank goodness 2 nice sissies let me in front of them. You know, my parents, because they're old, they didn't have to wait in the queue.
Why not?
I can't go with them. They're not going to let – what? Must I pretend I'm holding their hands because they didn't have walking sticks or anything. I can't do that.
but wait, is that a thing? Mm-hmm. So what? Bali just gets to go to the front.
Yeah, if you're old, you get to go to the front.
And what's old? Like, do you know, like 65, 60?
60 plus.
Dude, I would definitely hold hands with both of them. I'd be in the middle saying, come on, exactly. Come, daddy, let's go.
Yeah. Bulelo is serving Madiba vibes today in that shirt of his. Yes, he is. Remember, you used to wear very loud shirts every Friday, and people used to look forward to that. You stopped doing that.
Yeah, well, this is a new one. I got a big meeting today. My sister bought it from me from the Ivory Coast. Thanks for asking.
It's very nice.
It's lovely.
It is really. And Dogoza says, we deserve the ANC. Ha, ha, ha. Shame. Don't say that yet. Onkopotse says, yeah, if the ANC wins with a, like, bemused, not very pleased face. Robin says, wherever these ANC votes are coming in, don't want to hear any complaints about their municipalities from now on. Yeah, that's another thing. I don't think the rest of the country should bail out those municipalities that that choose bad government. Like, I don't think that Joburg should have to pay for Ekurhuleni if Ekurhuleni is badly managed. You know, and if you live in one of those little towns, like poor old Lieto, who's on the burning platform quite often, he lives in Velkom, right? And he says that that place is so rotten and corrupt. But there's no one who's even, like, competing. Apparently the DA competed for the first time in his neighborhood against the ANC. But before that, he had no choice. So I do feel sorry for these people. But you know what? If you live in one of those wards and you get swept along with the rest of them and they vote badly, yes, what can we say? I mean, by voting badly, in inverted commas, I mean, like, set up a whole bunch of crooks in the municipality. Because you only know once they're in there, right? You don't know. The party doesn't give you any guarantee that they're not crooks.
Yeah, that's true. They almost guarantee you the crooks by being politicians, actually.
Exactly.
But what's it? It's an interesting thing you bring up. It's a bit of a dilemma. Should competent people leave those types of places, you know? Because, really should probably move to Cape Town or Johannesburg.
Yeah.
But then he leaves, Valcom gets worse.
Well,
it's a little bit of a philosophical dilemma there.
And he said exactly this. He said he's a lecturer, right? And he's got students there. And he says he's staying there just because his students need him. But you know
that's amazing.
That's nice of him. But I wouldn't sacrifice myself for the students. If I were him, I'd get the hell out of that town.
That is a dilemma.
You wouldn't stay. John Wick.
Mbulelo, you wouldn't stay. I know I wouldn't.
Not in a million years. No. I'm the most selfish person in the world. Yeah. Absolutely. He's seen a way better person than me.
Valcom be damned.
No job.
No way I'm going to do it.
Listen, I barely want the people in my – I barely want to live in my little yuppie village – complex I live in with some of the people. I want to leave them behind. I'm trying to find a nicer complex with less kids and pets.
Yeah.
Forget saving Valcom.
Well, here's
he's awesome.
Dogoza says that apparently, due to him being more informed than us this morning, Dogoza says that apparently turnout was the lowest that it has ever been in any election. Now that's interesting, because I waited longer than I've waited in any election yesterday. But then maybe my municipality, maybe my ward is like super amped and charged up and they, you know, motivated. Who knows? I did say I live in a fat neighborhood. So what I did yesterday is I just took a quick scan of the people in the queue around me. And I figured, like, on the fatness scale, my neighborhood's about a 7 out of 10 fatness.
Sure.
That's quite a fat neighborhood.
So?
Yeah. Oh, Mbulelo. I know compared to Mbulelo, I'm fat, right? But I'm talking like maybe out of every 10 people, at least 7 were overweight. I'd say maybe 5 were obese, and maybe 1 or 2 of those were morbidly obese. So it's a big fat neighborhood that I live in. I'm surprised anyone even pitched, because usually fat equals lazy. And you know how lazy people don't like to get up and go to the polls.
Shout out to the fatties. Well done for voting.
Yeah.
So you know what the beauty, I've just realized as you were saying, the beauty of living where I live is lots of sort of, it's a family area, mm-hmm. and it's lots of Bali's where I live. I don't live in like an active young people's area.
Right.
So it's awesome. When I went there, I got there at about 8 o'clock. Chup still. Maybe like
in
1 minute.
In the morning or in the evening?
No. Morning, I was still here.
Yeah, you see, you're so keen. That's the problem with you, is you make the rest of us look bad. Like, I thought 5:30 in the afternoon was a good idea. It was not. If I'd gone at 8 in the morning, I would have been much better off. You are smarter than me and Lebang. Lebang didn't even get to vote because she went so late. Yeah, 8 p.m.
Yeah, no, I went after work. You must remember, I worked. I was here at the office.
I thought you said 8 a.m. Literally... Okay, no, then I don't.
No, 8 a.m.
Okay, well done. But we all left it too late, I'm telling you. Because if there'd been a problem with yours, you wouldn't have been able to vote either. Anyway, Keenan says he's very disappointed at the voter turnout. Well,
but I was surprised, guys. People are tired. My mom lives in a very quaint little neighborhood where there's WhatsApp groups where they all talk and they all know who they're voting for. Like what you're saying earlier, Mbulelo, like if you knew the person, it was a unanimous thing. The lady who has been managing the neighborhood is like, guys, I'm actually just going to do this. And everybody was like, we've got your back, girl. So I'm like, Mom, aren't you going to go vote? And she's like, I'm going to sit here and go vote for that lady. Nah. nothing's going to change. And I'm like, okay, if my mom's tired, it's a wrap. People are tired.
then you know. Yeah, because remember, that generation, I mean, like your parents' generation and going back further, obviously, these are people who actually knew what the vote was all about. They knew what the struggle was about, right? And therefore, therefore for them, and they probably lost some friends, and there's serious blood that has been paid for that. Now, if they say, it's not worth the while, then you know. Anyway, low voter turnout favors the opposition, says Panda. Yeah, that's usually true. I'm not sure. Our queue was pumping, says Sun Marie. Was that mean like you're having a party, Sun Marie, in Pretoria East?
Some of these places like were looking like really fun. We dropped off, I think, one of my brother's girlfriends at the Gautrain station, Marlboro.
Oh, yes.
And like the voting station was right next to it. Guys, it was booming. There was like energy, vibes, little tents with all the little parties, busy like late campaigning. Like the energy was just good. So we're driving past and I was like, woo woo. And that was nice. But then I knew that most of these people are voting for the ANC anyway. So
well, yeah. I just want to tell you, you don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah,
they could. Levan, have been, they could
like
have been
you were
secret.
Saying your brother has a couple of girlfriends there. By the way,
whoa.
I dropped off one of my brother's.
One
girlfriends.
One of my brother's girlfriends. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, what sounded like right. You were saying.
I've got two brothers.
No, but the way you put it, it was like I dropped off one of my brother's girlfriends.
No,
one
but
of the brothers
it's all
has...
about where you put the apostrophe. That's why it's so important.
No, true,
to, yeah. So
look, it was a vibe, eh?
Sive says, voted for the first time yesterday in Grahamstown. Everyone showed up at the same time, around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. A lot of old people here, so they showed up in gangs of 60-plus to jump the queue. Gangs. That's great. Fundo says, did you hear about Helen Ziller being manhandled? Now, I heard about
that.
Well, it was, but it isn't. Like, she's an old lady, right? So even though
and you can't put your hands on people,
no, but it was the police which made it worse. Look, I don't know what Helen was doing in order to get the police so upset that they manhandled her the hell out of there. But I can imagine her going, "Don't you touch me, leave me alone. I'm Helen Zilla. I'm here to vote." But she was in Nelson Mandela Bay, and I mean, listen, if she was manhandled, that's absolutely wrong. And I actually got a message. The only reason I knew about it was because an ANC friend of mine. Yes, believe it or not, you can have friends in the ANC. Send me a message where he was condemning this. He's like quite an important ANC person, and he was condemning Helen Ziller being manhandled in the Eastern Cape, you know, Nelson Mandela Bay voting district, whatever it was. And that's how I knew about the whole thing. But if it's true that Helen Ziller was manhandled, or that anyone, frankly, any South African citizen was manhandled at the polls by anyone, that's completely unacceptable.
So apparently, from what I read, people were in like lines for hours and they were tired and complaining about waiting in the lines. So Helen Ziller was basically telling people, no, just be patient. Don't leave, because people wanted to leave. So somebody reported her and said, no, apparently Helen Ziller was like doing last minute campaigning or trying to convince people. Yo, dude, the cops were just waiting for anything to happen. The way they would, like, they picked her up like this. They went, oop.
Oh my God!
It was sad to see, but like at the same time, it's like, dude, what are you doing, Helen? Yeah. Just like,
is Helen Ziller married? Do you, I don't know if you know her.
Yeah, she knows. She's got a husband, and he is.
It must be amazing to be her husband. What a life he's living!
Yeah,
I'd love to know what it's like for him.
She's busy, hey? She's busy. But I've said it before. Yeah. Like in this election, we needed Karens. This is where you realize the value of a Karen in your neighborhood, because you and I are not going to complain when the water gets cut off or we hear noises in the street late at night, or because we're not complainers. Believe it or not, even if you listen to this show and you think we complain a lot, we're not those kind of complainers. You need Karens in your neighborhood. The Karens stand for election. The Karens get shit done. They make sure that when the rubbish hasn't been collected for 2 days, something gets done about it. You need those people. Please believe me. So let's not complain about them now. We can complain about them again in a couple of days' time, obviously. And then by doing that, we ironically become Karens ourselves. the fact that anyone is surprised or shocked that voting numbers are low is strange. We've all been shafted so hard by every single political party in this country that it's surprising it's only happening now, says Anthony. Correct. Correct.
Agreed.
Yeah, but you got to be in the arena. Yeah, like, be, you don't have to be a Karen, but you have to get into the arena. I know that, because the easy way out is opt out, is you have to lean in. No man is an island. Otherwise, things don't happen. Like, as much as I wish I could just live in my own house, but I'm, like, I need Karen up the road. And I need Gareth up the road also paying into the taxes.
Dude,
like,
I
wish we could just do it on our own.
I almost, there was a point where I looked at the queues and I thought, does it really matter if I vote or not? So I'm kind of the opposite of a Karen, because a Karen would go, no, we've all got to do our democratic duty and I've got to be here and I've got to cast my vote. Otherwise, I have no right to complain. You know, that stuff. And I always used to be a bit like that myself. I used to say, well, you have to vote. Otherwise, you have no right to moan. But that's nonsense. Some people, I'm talking about smart people, I know. I even mentioned this on the show yesterday. You can argue with them and they will give you very good reasons why you shouldn't participate in a democracy, why it's a waste of time, why it's a stupid, hollow, pointless act. And these people are not, they're not morons. They're also not people who are lazy or just given up because the queue is too long. There are arguments for and against taking part in a participatory democracy. And if you're not 100% for it, and that's your point of view, I'm not going to give you shit about that. It's like people who want to move to another part of the world. It's none of my business. It's your decision. You want to send your kid to a private school or public school? That's your decision. You want to have a medical aid or not? Your decision. You don't want to have insurance on your car? You take that chance? That's your decision. I'm not one of those people who's going to get involved in your life. And I'm also not going to tell you who to vote for. I do not try to persuade people that they must vote X, Y, or Z. I have not done that once.
Yeah, you're not a Karen.
No, I don't. No, I just don't care enough. That's the problem. Anyway, we've got a couple of headlines before we get to the great Jean-Jacques Cornish, who I'm excited to speak to this morning. We'll do our African analysis, as we always do every second Tuesday. But first, let's take a look at the major headlines this morning. First of all, Mantashe says Eskom is the biggest opposition this elections. Well, I wonder who sorted Eskom out to be in the position that they're in to be the biggest opposition this time. Gwede. Gwede, come on. You've been Secretary General of the ANC before this. Now you're the Minister of, what is he? Minister of Energy. And I don't understand how this guy can think that all of us don't see him and Eskom in the same basket, same WhatsApp group. He reckons that they're the biggest problem. Well, you had how many years to sort it out? I mean, all those years ago when Alec Irwin was the minister in your position, remember that? Or he was Public Enterprises at the time because Eskom fell under them. And nobody was doing anything. That was under the Thabo Mbeki administration, Gwede. And you were around. Yeah. You could have started doing something. If you really cared about your job, you would have, right? Anyway, he was voting at the Freeway Park Primary School, Ward 43, Boksburg on Monday. Who knew that Gwede was a Boksburg resident? Now you know.
Not me.
Mm-hmm. Now you know.
Next to Benoni.
That's right. Boksburg. No wonder Guido has such bad decision-making powers. He lives in Boksburg. I've never met anyone from Boksburg who makes good decisions. Have you?
Yo.
No, I haven't. And no. I can also confirm to you, he likes the sauce as well. I do know.
Oh, he loves the sauce. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows him very well.
My favorite thing, while we're character assassinating a minister, I just got to say my favorite thing about Guido Mantashe is the underbite there. Notice that? That's fun. It's fun when he's on the TV. When he's talking to you, he's like, and you're like, what? It almost sounds like a villain from a like video game. Anyway, there's Gwede Mantashe in the news. Other news around the elections, for people who are still interested in the headlines this early on a Tuesday. Cyril Ramaphosa was booed as he voted on election day. He cast his vote in Soweto on Monday morning. He's calling for those elected to put more effort into their work. We have not yet realized the aspirations of our people. We are going to do better, he said. But he expected an overwhelming...
Wait, why is he voting in Soweto? Sorry.
I know.
Whoa. I know where he lives.
Yeah, exactly.
I know where he lives. Right? I know his exact address.
Right.
But Lebang, couldn't vote where she voted. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, you should see the video. When Cyril got to Soweto, it's like he became somebody else. He just started speaking.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like one of them. He was like, yeah, what's it getting in Pinchaka? Yeah, let's hala. He became a nigga from the hood.
Do you remember that?
I was like, Cyril.
Musi used to do that. Musi used to go super black in black neighborhoods, but then in white neighborhoods, he'd be talking like this. Remember?
I'm telling you. Oh, I love it. Like comedians everywhere. Everywhere yeah. you go.
Your Dali Tambo.
It was worse. Dude, he sounded like a Nyaope boy. Just look for it. Look for that
wow,
video.
Of okay.
wow. It was hectic. Nyaope. He was like, yeah, yes, yes.
Jesus.
That's incredible.
That guy just morphed.
Well, Ruth says, I went to various social parties this weekend, met new people as soon as COVID jabs or politics came up. I kept quiet. I'm so proud of my ex-Karen self. Just not worth the argument. That is good. That is incredible, Ruth. I'm proud of you, too, because you avoided having to argue with people about dumb stuff like vaccines or whatever. You know, it's so boring. It is so boring to have those conversations. And I'm proud of you because you also avoided conflict. Because if there was someone who disagreed with you about the vaccine, so leave them alone. I mean, like, just not worth it. There was a time where I'd say, oh, no, stand up for whatever you believe in, whether you're a big pro-vaxxer or you're a massive anti-vaxxer. You just stand up for it. Proud of you. You had fun. You had a good time. You avoided those landmines and pitfalls. You probably had a really good weekend.
Yeah, she didn't fall into what's... Yeah, she didn't fall into what's been come to be known as vegan lesbian vortex. I'm not saying who would have fallen into that.
But I fell into that before, I told you.
Yes.
Simpiwe says, oh, this is our Simpiwe. I live in Boksburg, born and raised even. Hi, bo. Really? So it's you and Gwede. That's great.
Y'all homies, they're neighbors.
Keenan voted for Herman Mashaba all the way. Wow, okay. There's a big fan of Herman Mashaba. Gwede talks like a homeless person, says Errol. Yes, that's good.
Can we not drag homeless people? Like, damn, it's bad enough they're homeless.
Yeah. It's called code switching. He went from Cyril to... Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna leave that alone. All right, one last bit of news. Do you want some more, or are you over it? Because we can get to Jean-Jacques if you'd prefer. No?
Let's get one more. Let's get one more.
Since you like the Cyril story, here's a story from, I know, this is IOL, so you can't really trust it, but it's published news anyway, and if they're lying, then that's their fault. I'm telling you the source. Angry community members in Soweto on Monday didn't let voting day stop them from expressing their anger towards lack of service delivery. As President Cyril Ramaphosa made his way to Chiawelo to cast his ballot alongside his wife, Dr. Tsepo Motsepe, he met up with a protesting group of residents who complained. Some roads leading to the voting station where Ramaphosa cast his vote were barricaded with rocks and rubble, people. Shirley Kamane, who's from Ward 11 in Chiawelo, said, their area often has a number of problems, including a lack of water and electricity. So they were actually actively protesting. Here's what she said. It has been 3 years that we have had electricity problems. They take electricity from us without notice. There are days we don't have water. We also want trains to operate so that we can use them to get to work. You see, this is like what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. People are interested in that practical stuff. They don't give a damn what party you're in. Just make it work. We earn too little money, she said, having to use taxis. Ramaphosa has made empty promises to develop parks and libraries. Drugs are a huge problem here. See, this is one woman they're quoting, and I have no reason to disbelieve them, even though it's IOL. Meanwhile, the president, addressing the media after he'd voted, indicated the provision of services in municipalities has to change. And he took it very seriously, he said. So let's see. I mean, if the ANC win in Chiawelo, but they were protesting Cyril, I heard there was a group of people who went to Lutuli House to protest yesterday, but there was probably no one at Lutuli House because all the people were out at the polls. No, but also they haven't paid them. I mean, even the security guards probably weren't there, but who knows? All right, Michael says, I wonder who Cyril voted for. Yes,
that's a great. Do you think he pitches up and goes, yes, that's, you know what? Mm-hmm. Levendale, I look good.
Homotso's got bad news for our Simpiwe. Yo, I think I might have to drop Simpiwe as my crush. How's she from Boksburg? I feel betrayed. That's like Helen being picked up by the cops.
Oh my God.
Oh, people are funny this morning. All right, very good. Let us turn our attention to the great Jean-Jacques Cornish, who joins us from Pretoria. Hello, Jean-Jacques. How are you?
I'm immensely well, and it's very kind of you to ask.
Well, I mean, we're always interested in how well you are, because you are the person we rely on to tell us about the rest of Africa. And if it wasn't for you, how would we bloody find out? Because no one else is giving us nearly the in-depth coverage that we want on our neighborhood.
I think you have been guilty of some misinformation. Gwede Mantashe cannot possibly be from Boksburg.
He is.
I don't know where you got that information. Well, with that underbite, how does he wear a gum guard? And have you met anyone from Boksburg without a gum guard?
Oh, that's exactly right. But I promise you it's true. Yeah. That's where he even went to vote yesterday. So unless he's lying to us about where he really lives, maybe he's got another house somewhere else that he actually lives in. But as far as we can tell, he's in Boksburg. So Jean-Jacques, so South Africa going through its election yesterday, and obviously the rest of the world watching us with some interest, but it's not like the 94 election interest. And I'm sure that there are many reasons that we should be more interested in this election than in previous ones, because this is about service delivery and all that stuff. But the rest of Africa, do they really care about what we're up to here? Or have they sort of lost interest in us as well?
Not local elections, certainly not. I have to say, I couldn't interest my French clients in local elections.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't interested. I
really
pitched them a massive piece and they just went, yeah, okay. And, you know, sad, very sad, because I think it's very interesting. The low turnout, well, you always get lower turnouts in local elections.
Yeah.
And, the more coalitions it creates, the healthier that will be for our democracy. But, we're talking about today about one of our best friends in Africa, Algeria, which, you know, as a young journalist at the United Nations, I remember the part, very leading role that Algeria took in the anti-apartheid struggle. And then when Morocco finally invaded the Western Sahara, Algeria took up with the Sahrawi and to this day put them up and support them. And in fact, in 1976, fought a brief war with Morocco over the Western Sahara. And they're a bigger and stronger and healthier economically country than Morocco. So Morocco backed down from that one. And sure, right now they've cut diplomatic ties. The border's been closed for years. They've cut diplomatic ties. They maintain that Morocco is using Israeli spyware against them, and that they are supporting Morocco. Because they support the Sahrawi, Morocco counters this by supporting separatist groups in Algeria. Well, you know, you get separatist groups in every African country.
Right.
And in Algeria, where there was corruption and where there was some oppression of the Berbers, well, that seems to have stopped. You do get separatist groups, and the Moroccans decided, well, okay, you support the Sahrawi independence, we'll support that. And the Algerians have had enough, and they cut diplomatic ties in August, and now they have stopped they've stopped sending gas. It's the fifth largest, 10th largest oil producer in the world. It's also the 10th largest country, and it's the largest country in Africa, twice the size of South Africa.
Really?
With the populations. Yeah, twice the size. With a population slightly smaller than South Africa's.
Well, it's mostly desert. I mean, we're a lot of it extends
80%.
Into the deep Sahara, and there are parts of that part of the world that are only really known to, you know, caravans of very ancient tribes who've managed to find a way to traverse those extremely hostile parts of the world. But Algeria is interesting. I mean, if we go further back, obviously a French colony for a very long time, and Algeria is one of the major exporters of people from Africa into Europe, which is often a cause for huge domestic strife in France. What is the relationship between France and Algeria like right now?
You want to picture in a short sentence, the relationship between Algeria and France is like the relationship between the Afrikaners and the British.
Oh, not good.
You know, not good.
Okay.
My bodyguard in Algeria, I had three of them, until I told my liaison officer that he couldn't liaise his way out of a wet paper bag. He confessed that he was not a liaison officer, but in fact, my fourth bodyguard. Wow. Well, the one of them, it was a particularly nice guy, but he was a judo, natural color judo guy.
Wow.
And he said we had a competition against the French. And I thought, the bastard a good lesson. You know, when you have an international competition, yeah, and I managed to beat him, or you use some sort of language like that, but not in his case. I taught him a good lesson. But you know, when you go to Paris, the taxi driver will invariably be Algerian. When you have your baggage carried upstairs. You know, I always travel with three or four ship container trunks. You know, you never know what you're going to have to wear. Not wanted on voyage. I still use those stickers. Anyway, the person carrying those up will be Algerian. Just as if you go to London, yeah. You know, the person who carries your baggage upstairs will talk like he's from Boxburg, because he will have been.
He will have been. No.
So, you know, there's that kind of hatred relationship, but they go there. They go there because they believe that is where they should go if they ever hope to attain any kind of success. It's a very strange relationship they have.
Yes, sorry.
No. You know, we saw a week ago Emmanuel Macron lamenting the death of hundreds of Algerians drowned. Thrown into the Seine, their bodies thrown into the Seine, killed by police. Oof. When they protested against a curfew that was made by the French against Algerians in France only.
Right.
And so they protested against us. The French killed them. Now, you know, so they had, they had more than 100 years of colonialism, and the French would have done anything. They would have given up the rest of their African colonies to get to retain Algeria, but they fought the civil war in the 50s and this war of liberation in the 50s and 60s. The Algerians maintain 1 million people died, or more than 1 million. Sure. Their monument says not a single Algerian family was untouched. The French still equivocate on this and say, no, there was about maybe 400,000 died, but it was the bitterest liberation war. And they're still trying to get over that, you know. So Macron is making moves to get better relations with France. But Algeria is a country. You know, they say that if an Algerian falls into a hole, his response is to keep digging. They are really, really the most stubborn. You know, I love going to Algeria, but I lose my temper completely every time I go there, because they picked up that kind of authoritarianism that the French must have taught them.
Yes.
And they you can't believe how they are so authoritarian. The president says this, it will happen.
So what?
It's not unlike Morocco.
Two quick questions.
But, you know, and the other thing, yes.
Just first of all, the languages they speak, they're Arabic and French, I suppose.
Yes, and Berber, of course.
And Berber.
You read my mail. The thing about it, I speak French and very little Arabic. And there were my bodyguards saying, okay, we're going to take the guy to the Ministry of the Interior now.
Mm.
I'd say, I don't want to go to the Ministry of the Interior. You take me there every day this week. I want to go to the security authorities. Then they look at me with mouths agape. But you said you didn't speak Arabic.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't speak Arabic, but you guys are actually speaking French. You know that. So they used a very bastardized form of Arabic.
Wow.
Then they thought I was a spy or something. You know, it was very strange. That's it. I was telling you about the thing with Morocco. They pump gas to Spain. Spain relies very heavily on Algeria gas for heating and so on this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And they piped it through an underground pipeline through Morocco. Morocco paid royalties for this, and those royalties paid for 10% of Morocco's energy generation. Well, because of this cutting off diplomatic ties, blocking airspace to Moroccan airlines, France has said, we're not going to use that pipeline anymore, and they are using an undersea pipeline to Spain, which is a bit has a lower capacity, so they're going to have to get the goods to Spain by maybe shipping it or otherwise. But that's the way the Algerians work. Abdelmajid Tebboune has said enough, you know, if we're going to not do, and he instructed the Sonatrach, which is the oil company, stop any dealings at all with Morocco. So that's the way they work, you know. The thing about it is they see themselves, they had in the 90s, and I was there for that, effectively a civil war. They hate us calling it that, but it was.
Yeah.
And they cancelled an election that was going to be won by the effectively by the jihadis, which would have been the last election the country had. Yes. They cancelled it. And you see, the thing is, getting independence in the early 60s, there was huge, huge corruption, and the people became desperately disenchanted with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And the another thing they did was send many, many young men to fight against the Russians in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And these men returned, and they had obviously then been radicalized. And the jihadis, the Islamists, realized that here was, you know, one of the big oil producers in the world. We're gonna capitalize on this, and they began this process. And you know, they would say to Algerians, "You're battling economically." Well, you know why that is? It's because you've let your wife go to work, which is not, you know, which is kafir. You can't have that. And that sort of indoctrination occurred. So the jihadis then looked like they were going to win this election. The government stepped in, and there began a civil war. And you know, as I say, I was there for that. Again, very bitter, very, very bitter, very, very dangerous. When finally they returned, they resumed control. Abdelaziz Bouteflika took power, and he held power for just over 10 years. He tried to retain it. They got rid of him. Mm. And but then they wanted a proper change, you know, not just some other general stepping in. They want a proper change of government. And they took to the streets again and again and again. And the authorities stayed their hand. They didn't, because one would have expected a very, very brutal crackdown on it.
Yeah.
But they didn't. The elections came to the demonstrators. In the demonstrators' view, too soon for any kind of real changes to occur, and Tebboune came in then at the very end of 2019. So he's now handling it, but the demonstrations have resumed, and they are being treated with increasing toughness. But you know, while Morocco and Algeria are at daggers drawn, as they are, this whole area called the Maghreb, which takes in the Western Sahara, takes in Mauritania. The Maghreb is the opposite of Mpumalanga. It's where the sun sets.
Right.
And, you know, the Maghreb is really important. It's just south of Europe, just across the Mediterranean. And if the Maghreb could speak in a single voice, they would have real leverage on dealings with Europe, and they would get better deals for their products. But they are seriously split in this way. So the Maghreb African Union is split because the two major members, Morocco and Algeria, won't play. And that's a great a disappointment and a tragedy, in fact, for North Africa. So one hopes that, you know, they can get a deal on the Western Sahara, that Morocco will finally keep its promise for an independence referendum on self-governance. They promised to do that. That's why the war there stopped in 1991. And that Morocco and Algeria can start to work together to make the Maghreb, a powerhouse.
It sounds like a horrible situation that these two countries hate each other and that they're both so important in that part of the world. Is there any reason that a South African tourist might want to go to Algeria? I mean, is there anything to see there as a tourist? Is it the sort of place that welcomes tourists? I mean, we've heard about worse places like Mauritania and Mali, who've often got tourists there. I mean, it's remarkable. Is there something to see in Algeria?
Well, Algiers is a very, very impressive capital. But, you know, you get the sense that it sort of needs a lick of paint. They don't have, and the beaches, they have lovely beaches, but there's no real tourism. It's like Libya, you know, there's no tourism there. You know, and they don't have, I mean, they don't have, you know, Morocco, of course, has a lot of tourism, but, you know, people might say cynically that Morocco has, Dakha. It's the biggest export, oranges and, prostitutes. Those are the big three.
Oh, okay.
Algeria doesn't do much of that. They would give Morocco a run for its money tourist wise if they could settle their security issues and the economic issues. They need, unfortunately, in a situation where they've got to fix their economy, and then there would be a great deal to offer tourists. You do get some French tourists going over, but there is this, you know, again, there's this latent bitterness that dates back to the Liberation War. My mother, being French, when I first went to Algeria, said, why would you go there? And I said, well, it's a very interesting story. And she said, greeting my uncles in France, when they'd say, oh, don't park your car over there. Why not? Well, because that's the Casbah, you know, all the Algerians live, and it's not so there's that, the sort of things that we get upset to say in this country about Nigerians, you know, that all of them are unsafe at any speed.
Right.
Now the French believe that about the Algerians. That there's a real effort to change that. But the Algerians don't help that either, you know. And then, of course, they then all go home in the summertime and then come back recharged, you know, with the sort of national fervor and this kind of resentment, not to say hatred, against France.
Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we got time for, but this is a very interesting exposition of the way that many of us might have preconceived notions of Algeria, somewhat dashed by you this morning, JJ. I'm always pleased to hear your insights into these places. And as you say, the biggest country in Africa, one that is at the exact opposite end of the continent to us and is so very different to us, but at the same time, you know, we need to figure out that whole Maghreb region so that we can understand the rest of the continent better, because without knowing that, we don't know much about the dynamics of what's going on around us. And are there any Algerian, I mean, do we have a presence of Algerians in South Africa?
Well, we have an embassy that is very active. But culturally and so on, you know, their music and that sort of rites music is the kind of the rock and roll Arabic type music is really, really, really fun to listen to.
Okay.
But it hasn't taken a hold here. But I'd like to see that happen. But I think it would go down very well if we could. Maybe an opportunity for somebody to exploit that.
It's brilliant. Thank you for letting us know about Algeria. Very,
always
very good.
A pleasure.
There's Jean-Jacques Cornish, and this, of course, is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. And I'm just going to say that I really appreciate the fact that the Johannesburg Business School is interested enough to give us the opportunity to access Jean-Jacques Cornish. Oh, well done. There's your thumb. There you voted. Good work, JJ. Show us again. There it is. All right. Everybody is showing off their thumbs today. It's great. So Jean-Jacques Cornish, brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. You can catch African Analysis every second week right here on cliffcentral.com. It is 7 o'clock. We'll be back in a moment.
Cliffcentral.com.